Sometimes when you do news reporting, because there's so much information, it's easy to gloss over details, or it's easy to group and homogenize information to make it easier for you, the listeners, to consume. During my research for Saturday's blog post, I came upon a news story that Toshiba was interested in selling their memory chip unit, and there were potential suitors like Google and Apple. And I took notice of it because of Apple and Google's involvement, and less so of Toshiba. I just thought this was another situation where a large company was selling a commodity. On Sunday night, I read another article that mentioned that Foxconn was interested in the chip unit. Over the last few days, Toshiba's name keeps coming up, and it started to become clear that this story goes much deeper than I realized. So this week, we're talking about Toshiba and how a once thriving company may not survive the next few months. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode 66. Before we get to our main story, we're not going to talk about acquisitions this week because the major acquisition news was our main story. But I do want to bring up another tidbit of information that I uncovered during the weekend. Teradata CEO Victor Lund aims to regain customer focus by embracing the cloud and open source. But for those of you who may not have been following Teradata, they're a smaller business analytics company that over the years have acquired a variety of companies and tools, but their bread and butter is predominantly business analytics. So this is a company that is competing with IBM's business analytics and Watson, Splunk, Tableau. Over the last year or two, the company has not been performing well. And some of the acquisitions that they purchased, they've sold off to private equity firms. So now the company is looking to refocus, and they're looking to leverage cloud and open source, which just seems like general buzz terms. I don't mean to come off as negative. I certainly want to see this company turn around. But it seems like general technology jargon speak. Saying things like cloud and open source is like standard HR or consultant jargon that we were making fun of last week. Like, we're going to change the dynamic and we're going to put the moose on the table. It sounds powerful, but what does it mean?
Moosey.
Lund was quoted as saying, "We were shying away from new technologies like open source and cloud. We weren't being as aggressive as we should be in moving forward to drive our offerings to the point where the customer wanted." He did say that the company is moving at quote-unquote lightning speed over the last year to address these concerns. I'm not a CEO of a company, so who am I to criticize? But I'm going to anyway. If you're a CEO and you're going to admit that the company maybe wasn't doing well and that you have this great grand plan to turn things around, perhaps you should be more specific. So on to our main story of Toshiba. I mentioned in the intro that the company is not doing well. And it's doing considerably worse than I realized. So I'm going to start at what I think is the major problem here and what is causing all of these financial issues. In 2006, Toshiba agreed to purchase Westinghouse Electric Company for $5 billion. Westinghouse, at the time, was one of the world's largest producers of nuclear reactors. In 2006, nuclear power was expected to grow. The nuclear disaster in Japan at Fukushima caused a slowdown. That slowdown was so significant that in March of 2017, Westinghouse Electric Company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Apparently, Westinghouse incurred billions of dollars in cost overruns related to four nuclear reactors it was building in the southeast United States. These cost overruns were so significant that not only did they take down Westinghouse, but they are threatening the existence of Toshiba itself. Toshiba is expected to book a $9 billion annual loss because of the write-down of Westinghouse. And to pay off that write-down, they are looking to sell off their valuable assets to keep the company operational. One of those targets is their memory chip unit, which they refer to as non-chips. The announcement that Toshiba was interested in selling off that asset was like blood in the water for sharks. Learning that Apple and Google were interested in purchasing Toshiba's memory unit brought my attention to the story. And then I learned that Foxconn was extremely interested in purchasing the memory unit to the point where they offered $27 billion for the division, which was like a $9 billion premium over the next bidder. And I understood why Foxconn would want to purchase a memory unit. They don't have a dynamic memory unit or flash memory unit currently within their assets. And Foxconn is a company that makes a lot of consumer goods. They manufacture all the iPhones. They probably make most of the other smartphones. They're an enormous company. Millions of people in China work for them. So owning a flash memory chip company or division absolutely makes sense. And this is where the story gets interesting. Toshiba is a Japanese company. Japan views memory chips and microchip manufacturing in general as a key strategic asset for the country. So the idea of Foxconn, which is a Taiwanese company that operates predominantly in China, taking control and owning a major strategic asset for the country of Japan, let's just say it's problematic for Japanese politicians. So the story right now is that Japan is trying to come up with a public trust fund or a joint venture with a United States company to come up with enough cash to purchase the Toshiba chip division, or at least a section of it, to inject Toshiba with enough cash to stay afloat. Considering that the whole reason why Toshiba is doing this is to get enough cash to stay operational and salvage the rest of their business, a $9 or $10 billion premium over the next competitor seems awfully attractive, especially considering that the write-down that they have to make is $9 billion. The government-backed Innovation Network Corporation of Japan and the Development Bank of Japan, they're expected to enter a bid as part of a consortium very shortly, if they haven't already. Since we're talking finances, we should also note that the U.S. government has also guaranteed loans of $8.3 billion to help finance some of the construction of the four reactors in the United States. So in conclusion, the second largest memory chip manufacturer on the planet might go out of business, might be financially insolvent. They're in such poor financial shape that they may actually be delisted from the stock market. In order to prevent such a situation from occurring, they may sell off their memory chip business. At this point, the highest bidder is Taiwanese company Foxconn at $27 billion. But there are political pressures from the Japanese government to not let Foxconn acquire this asset and to keep it within the country of Japan, even if that means sharing some of the assets with the United States. This is a very complicated situation, and it's interesting to see how this problem really stems from a natural disaster that happened a few years ago. All of these things are connected, and that's something that I wouldn't have noticed if I didn't take the time to understand this story. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find SourceCast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. SourceCast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music has been provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.